The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Clean Nation, Mike Campion here with one of our Millionaire Mastermind clients and, frankly, amazing human beings. And if I dare say, a friend of mine, this is Alonzo Perdomo. He is married to a beautiful woman, way too good for him. He and I have that in common, married to much better looking women that is way too good for us, ladies. And so most of the time when you hear, oh, it's a Millionaire Mastermind guy, you might think, oh, he's going to share a bunch of how to make more money and how to grow a cleaning company. And honestly, we might touch on some of that, but the goal of this call is we do three events a year for Millionaire Masterminds and our Next Level folks. And I've heard it feels like 2 years, Alonzo, how long is it since we've known each other? About 2 years?
It's been almost 2 years, 3 years, 3 years.
Holy heck. I always feel like it's been 10 seconds that it's been longer. So
yeah,
I've known Alonzo and his wife for apparently coming on 3 years now and have heard just different snippets of their story and just where they came from and all. I love to kind of get to know my Millionaire Mastermind folks. And this is the first time, I don't know what it was. I think it was in the group setting or I don't remember where it was, but I really got like Alonzo's whole story. And as a podcaster, once a year, twice a year, I'll just hear somebody's story. I'm like, I just want to share that with the group. So again, Alonzo's a Millionaire Mastermind member. He's got a very successful cleaning business. He and his wife are out of cleaning. They're growing. They're bright people. And as it makes sense, we'll talk about that. But honestly, I just wanted to share a story of more who to be. And I've told Alonzo this, so I don't think it's private. 2 years ago, apparently, when they came into the group, they were kind of like on the edge of just if it would make sense, just where they're at with their business and such. They could have gone either way with, hey, maybe you're more of a next level, or I don't even know if we had next level at that point, or maybe you're just not a good fit for the Millionaire Mastermind just yet, or you could be there right on the edge. And the thing that made me go, I think they're going to be a good fit, was just their coachability and their sincerity. Like, there are smarter guys in the Millionaire Mastermind group. There's better looking guys. There's, you know, whatever, older guys. There's a lot of different guys. And then I'm talking of the me and Alonzo. I'm not just saying Alonzo. I don't think there's anyone more sincere and more coachable than Alonzo. It's funny. I found out recently, like, oh yeah, you boxed at a fairly high level. And it's like, I should have known you were a high level athlete. Cause athletes are like, okay, they don't have a lot of thoughts when you give them, okay, turn your hips like this, do that. Okay. I have a coach. I'm listening to the coach. So anyway, Alonzo's awesome and he contributes to the group. And I almost feel like I'm being greedy, not sharing with Cleaning Nation. So the goal of this is just for you to really me to ask Alonzo a story. And I promise you at the end of this, not only will you be, I think you'll get some value in terms of how to be a better business owner and how to grow in that regard, but just as a better person. So we're going to work on kind of us first. And I promise you get you right, the business will be fine. So Alonzo's got a ridiculous story. Born in Mexico, correct?
Yep.
Brothers, sisters, you're the oldest, youngest?
I'm the middle one. I have two older sisters and then two younger brother and a sister.
And the start of the story, we're sitting in a fairly nice hotel, beautiful ballroom, and we're all there and everything's great. And Alonzo's like, yeah, when I grew up, I didn't have electricity, I didn't have a floor, like a little different than the hotel that you were sharing the story in, I guess is the.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very, very different on the level that where I am right now than where I grow up with, a small house with no electricity, no powers, no hard floors, dirt in the floor. So it was kind of sad back then, but to where I am, I'm the wealthiest man in the world, even though I'm not there yet, but I'm pushing forward. And it's amazing the way that you can change your mindset. Like Mike said, like, you have to work first in yourself and able to be where you want to be, right? So I grew up really poor, and I grew up with the wrong people. So like hanging out, let's just start with hanging out with the wrong people. It's always take you the wrong way, right? It's only hanging out with the right people to learn from the people. So
what attracted you to the wrong people, right? Because I'm guessing in your neighborhood, just like my neighborhood and every listener's neighborhood, there's probably some good guys that could have maybe enhanced the quality of your life or the quality of your thinking. And there's some bad guys that might have done the opposite. What drew you to quote unquote the bad guys or the bad crowd?
Well, I think as we always know, like it's so easy to develop a bad habit than a good habit. So it was easy to go hang out with the fun, cool kids, hanging out on the streets, you know, cause a little bit of trouble here and there when you like nine years old and you don't have the right foundation with your parents. What I mean by that, my father never was there with us. So I do whatever I want, basically, because my mother was, she was there, but it was not there. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but she was too busy trying to catch up with other things in the house with the other kids. And so I was the middle kid. I think it was more like I do hang out more with the kid, with the other kids, because she was busy doing things, chores or whatever. And I was in the streets all the time. So it was more easy to hang out with the wrong people, the doing goofy stuff, playing around, and then end up to stuff that you don't want to grow up. But you start hanging out with those people and you start using bad stuff, like, you know, drink, drugs, stuff that is not really good. And then it goes really sideways when you start going that path. It's really hard to come back from there.
So one of the sweetest thing, I love Alonzo. Both his heart is sweet. He doesn't like saying mean things about people. And also his command of the English language is amazing. So the favorite thing that I think you said is you were trying to describe your dad. I'm like, why wasn't he there? What was going on? And you don't want to be disrespectful to your dad, but you're trying to answer the question. So he said, he was famous with the ladies. I thought that was a very kind and generous way to put that thing. So that was your male example of here's what a father or husband looks like, is not home with his kids, out doing whatever he's going to do. From what I hear, your poor mom, she's got three kids, no money, living in poverty. She's just trying to like, how do I feed myself and these kids? I got no husband that's here to support. So she's, I think it'd be fair to say, she's got her own problems. Were your brothers and sisters just doing their own thing? They weren't like super interested in like hanging out with Alonzo?
She was, one of my older sisters, she was more into school. So she was going to school, and my older sister, she was more into like help around the house. So like it was so hard for my mom to control all of us, even though they have other little kids, you know. I was the middle, so she has the other two little ones. And when a father is not there to support, plus my mom, it was no knowledgeable read and write and all that kind of stuff. So it was so hard to her to control us. And she cannot keep us in check. How do I put it this way? Well, like we were too much hands full for her, because she was trying to do the things in the house, secure. And I come from where, you know, like it's very small town. You don't have electricity. You have a cows, you have a sheep's. So you had to maintain all that, plus you had to cook, plus you had to go take care of the animals, plus you had to take care of the fields, like corn, beans, and all that stuff. So she was really a handful. And that time when I was 9 years old, everybody was hanging out, picking up the corn, and you start seeing other kids that they were down by the streets playing football, and you start hanging out with them, and they were going through the same thing, I think, like me. Like, they don't have parents, or the parents, they were working out in the field. They don't have too much school back then, I think. So it was so hard to grow up like with a father or a mother that like, okay, you got to be in the school. You got to go here. You got to, this is better for you. You got to learn how to read. I didn't go to school, but I never assisted to the school. So I really learned a lot of things. I like always tell you, Mike, it's taken me longer to me to learn all the systems, because I don't know how to write Spanish all the way, and I don't know how to write English all the way. So I'm kind of in between. And that's one, and that comes with the mindset, like the coach that you have for us, for the mindset. When she asked me one time, she said, okay, you learn all this other stuff. What do you do to learn that, and why you can learn the language? So simple little details that you can get for other people. And you're like, I never thought about that. What did I do to get this? And really what I cry, and I mean crying, like saying, oh, I can speak English, well, I can know write English. Well, it's my own fault because I don't put enough effort to go there and learn and push forward.
Or just you look at it a way that's not helpful, right? Well, I don't know how to speak English, therefore I can't be successful. And then it sounds like Tracy, almost one of our coaches, helped you see, well, wait a sec, you learned this, how'd you do that? You learned, okay, so you do have the tools to learn, and it's just really how we choose to look at it. I don't have this, therefore I can't have that. Or I did this before, therefore I can do this, right? Both are true. It's just which reality we choose to adopt. So when I hear 9 year, you know, in the States, you know, you'll hear, you know, 14, 15, 16, I started drinking, doing drugs, hanging out with the wrong people. At nine, that's really young, right? And I don't, you know, the physiologically, I don't think, you know, humans' brains are really fully formed until we're like 18, 19, 20, 21. So at nine, we just don't have any decision-making capacity, right? That's why we have parents. And you introduce drugs and alcohol to that, and making decisions with other 9 year old knuckleheads, like, you're just, it's almost like you had no chance at that point. Were you hanging with other 9 and 10 year olds, or did you just kind of take up like older boys, or how, you know, drugs and alcohol is a lot for nine, at least from my, where I come from.
It's like, a, like I said, like I chose to, I always hang out with older people, because it was, I think it was, they were fun for them to see me, like, and it was a lot more kids like my age in the area, but it was fun to them to, you know, give you stuff. And this, that's the mentality. You start like, okay, I'm older, so I can give them this, so they can go get that for me. So that's the, really what, how it works, like, like bad stuff, like bad people, that's the way they start controlling kids, because they give them a little bit of this and they start getting addicted. And then you can tell them, hey, go get that done. And then they know what are they going to get in return. So they start messing up with you like that. And then if you don't do things, you can get really hurt by, you know, by the members of where you belong.
So it sounds like the older kids were probably, you know, before we judge them too harshly, they were probably taking advantage of his children, and they lived to be 15, 16. And now they see these 9, 10 year olds, like, I'm going to take advantage of this kid and make him do what I want to do. And it, that just, I'm guessing it's a generational thing. So how'd that happen? How did you like break out of that part of your life?
Well, it took a long time. Like, I started when I was 9 years old, hanging out with the wrong people. And then from there, at the Bellas, I moved into another city called Mexico City. I went there because I'm like, okay, well, this is, I need to make money. I need to do what is cool, what the other kids cool are doing. So
how old were you when you left home and moved to Mexico City?
I was 11 years old.
So let me just get it. The town you're in sounds like a farming community, couple thousand kids. I don't want to say protected, because you were just out there with these other older kids taking advantage of you. When you were 11, you left your family, I'm assuming with other boys.
Yeah, it was.
You can't even drive. Like, you had to have someone else take you. I'm assuming some person with a car took you, right?
And over there is different, because it's like, I hear you guys got buses too. Well, in Mexico, it's totally different. You can go to the bus station, or you stop by the street and you stop the bus and you just pay a little bit of money, you know, how much they, whatever they charge.
But still, an 11-year-old could get on public transportation as a bus and just drive to a city. And
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, coming from a small town, Mexico City, you saw it say a small city, Mexico City is millions of people, correct?
Oh, yeah.
So that must have been a huge culture shock to go from a small farming town to millions of people. You're 11 years old, you don't really have a protector. I'm assuming you have some sort of gang of, boy, I don't even say men, boys you're hanging out with.
I hang out with other people that they want to move up out of the city because supposedly it was better. It was more, well, you're still doing the same thing. I left the city pretending going to my uncle's house. And then I move out up there and I start hanging out with the fun people that you can call them. And you start end up doing bad stuff. And I stuck there for like 3 years, I think. Yeah, 3 years. And then from there, one of my buddies that I used to hang out down in my town, he said, hey, what about if we go to the United States? I said, well, that sounds like fun. Let's do it. After I go through.
So that wasn't a dream of yours, like, oh, I want to go to the States. It was literally just a buddy's like, hey, let's go to the States. You're like, sounds like fun. It wasn't like, I want to get the American dream. Nothing like that. It was just like, sure, it'll be something new.
It was something behind because one of my uncles, it wasn't come here and then go back, and it was something like and there that I want to come here, but I don't really know what it was in here. You know, like oh, everybody says it's cool. Some people they say it's bad. It's a whole different stories. I'm like, oh, okay, I can try it. And then my friends say, hey, this is how much it's gonna cost us, blah blah. Let's get the money together. And I said, okay, fine. And it was one time that I was doing something with other people, and I got a little bit in trouble, a little bit in trouble. And my buddy said, hey, you coming or not? Because this is the last time that we stay here. Then from here, we're gonna move to to over here in the United States. I said, sure, I got the money. Let's do it.
So did you get kind of, when you say in trouble with the law in Mexico or like your friends, but either way, you felt like it's not safe for me to be here. Am I picking up what you're saying? Okay. So there is some level of Mexico City's not for me anymore. Whether it's the police or friends, it was time for Alonzo to go. You had a kind of a dull sense of there might be some sort of opportunity in America, but mostly it was just, there's nothing for me here. Sounds like an adventure. And I've kind of heard tales that maybe things are better there. Is that a fair picture of how you felt at the time?
Something like that. Like, yeah, it was better to come over here. Everybody's saying like, oh, in the United States, you can make a lot of money. You bring money. I'm like, oh, that sounds like fun. And it was also like something, things behind that was going on. So I'm like, okay, I think it's time to just go see if I can do better over there. And
And how old were you at that point?
that point, I was 14 years old.
So I'd imagine to come to the States, it's not a cheap endeavor. Were you able at 14 to save a couple thousand or whatever it costs to get here? You were able to get your hands on that pretty easy?
Not pretty easy because I was working and I was doing some kind of stuff. So I had a money in my pocket, but it was because I was doing kind of funny
Yeah, but
stuff.
still at 14, even fooling around with drugs or whatever. Not good stuff you're doing at 14. That's still a lot, right? It's still a big responsibility. And I'm assuming you kind of bet your net worth. It's not like you had a lot of money and this is a small portion. I'm guessing this was most, if not all, of what you'd worked your whole life, your young life to accumulate.
Yeah, well, here's the thing that I have some, and then I borrow some from my friends. So as soon as
But you couldn't even afford it. Whatever it costs to get here, you didn't have that. You had to borrow some.
no, I have some away, but then my friends say, hey, you want to go? I lend you the money, and then we'll figure it out when we go over there on the other side. So
So
it's
that's a still having at that level people that trusted you enough to lend you, because I'm sure he didn't have a ton of money. So him lending you a large portion of money, you basically putting everything you had into it and committing to pay this guy back, this is a big roll of dice.
yeah, it all depends how you. I mean, I'm always pretty loyal to people. I'm always like, if you really commit to help me, or I know that you care about me, I will take care of you. And that's the mentality that I grew up with. When my friends like hanging out, like, okay, you got to do this, you got to do that, and when you start hanging out with those people, they make you bring that into that way because, they seen you do stuff, right? This is where my cool people that I'm saying. They seen you to do stuff. And if you are not given the results that you have to give, you get in trouble. So you gotta be in that mentality, like doesn't matter what, I'm gonna get this done because I'm gonna get in trouble.
So let me tell you what I'm hearing. And this is really interesting. So, we don't have to get into deep details, but it sounds like Alonzo's involved in illegal activities. Doesn't sound like something he's proud of or, like pointing to or saying we should do this. He's just telling a story. And he's an adult. And just so you guys know, he's an adult. He's married to a beautiful wife. He's got kids. He's an amazing human being. Alonzo now is someone you would want to have as your neighbor and community member. And by the way, I was a knucklehead when I was a kid. Not to the degree that you're talking about, but we've all done some stupid stuff. But what I'm hearing is even in that world, which we might look at and judge and be like, oh, well, it was, drugs or whatever, there was still resourcefulness and the things it took to be, and I'm doing air quotes here, successful in that world are similar to what it takes to be successful in business, right? Like we hire people to do stuff and we know people, I don't know, I'm confused, I can't figure it out, and drives us nuts, and they never ascend. But when we hire people, when we go, I can trust Alonzo, I ask him to do something and it gets hard or something goes sideways and I know Alonzo's going to sort it out, Alonzo tends to get more and more responsibility and authority. Have you found that the things that, I hate to say successful because it's a weird kind of success in that world, but still in that world, the things that made you successful served you, did they translate well to the real world, so to speak, or am I totally making a connection that doesn't exist?
What do you mean? I don't.
I'm hearing you say I was trustworthy. When I said I'd do something, I did it. When you need to get resourceful to make it happen, even if it's in an illegal world, not with the greatest people, I was a man. They could say, Alonzo, go here, do this, and by God, it would get done. And that served you well. You were able to, people lent you thousands of dollars, gave you some sort of trust, like it was successful for you in that world. Yeah. Even though obviously the world that you're in now, legal, business owning, family member, like that, it still seems like that I'll figure it out. I'll get stuff done. Don't worry. Like Alonzo, when I give him coaching, there's some people like, I don't know, I'm scared, help me out. Give me 74 details. I've got a million questions. Everything other than got a boss, I'll do it. Alonzo never says that. Anytime I give him coaching, he's like, got it, I'm on it, I'll do it. Like just move and by I'll be deigned if he doesn't come back and go, done it, what's next? Like just that's how he is. And I'm seeing that it's put you in any universe, legal, illegal, business, this, that, other, it's just those traits work. That's what I'm seeing. Is that how it felt from your perspective, or am I missing it?
Yeah. It's basically that, like, it's the same thing in that world. And in this world, like where we run a business, is the same thing in that world, but that helped me a lot. And, I think that's the reason that I am like that. Like I'm committed and I don't know how I'm going to figure it out, but I'm going to figure it out and I'm going to get it done. That's the way that my mentality, and that's the way that I was raised. Believe it or not, you hang out with that type of people and they build you like that. You're like, well, it was a good thing. Back then it was a really bad thing for me. Right now it's such a advantage because if you don't develop that habit, like committed and do whatever it takes to get the results that you want, it's really hard to have it if you don't apply it when you're young.
And that's another lesson I would see is, I don't know if there's any altogether good and altogether bad. So Alonzo sharing kind of his youth, and it sounds like a very difficult upbringing, right? But I love that you're like, there were some things out of that came good, right? And I don't know that that's how I'd want my kids to learn those lessons. I'd like to teach them differently, but nothing's all bad, right? You can go, I don't like some of the things I did. I don't like some things that were done to me. I regret some of my actions, but these lessons learned, they're still good lessons. I love that. A lot of people have just been like, it's all bad. It's all nothing to learn. It's like, you get to choose if there's anything to learn.
Yeah. I'm not going to throw flowers to you, Mike, because every single thing that is bad, you always can find something good. And that's where you coaching and develop the person of you. Like, okay, yeah, everything, it was bad back then. But if you see back and think about it, like what it was good that I get from there. And I think one of the developments that I got from that time was the way that I was being raised with the other kids and be committed and get the results that you want to get it done. So, and that is when you come in and you start like, make me think like, no, everything is bad. Even if I crash in a car, it's always still something good. Why? Because if I'm in the hospital and I'm not dead, I still going to come up and I can still continue to go to work, and then everything is in the past. But it's the mindset that you have. It's amazing. And I'm really thankful for that.
Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing, share with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.